Our first hymn is hymn number 20, Be Thou My Vision. Let us pray. Dear God, please do for me what I cannot do for myself. Overrule the darkness and fill me with your light. Help me to see the innocence in everyone. Lift my soul and renew my body. Open my eyes that I might see the love that is always there. And now we will say, love is the doctrine of this church. It is in the back of the hymnal. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end, so as we grow in harmony with the divine, this do we covenant with each other and with God. Our reader today is Denise.
Good morning. I found a poem for today which is called Be Thankful, but I haven't been able to find the name of the author. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you the opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary, because it means you have made a difference. It is easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks.
You all know this story. Can you hear me? Yeah. You all know this story. It's the ugly duckling. And I was wondering even if I should use the word ugly. But anyway, we all know it as the ugly duckling. The mother duck sat on all her eggs. Four were the same size, but one was slightly bigger. And the four, the same size, hatched. And four beautiful ducklings came into the world. And they were all delighted with them, but the big one hadn't hatched. So the big one finally hatched, but it was totally different to the other four. And it was quite big, and it was grey, and it had a long neck. And the other ducklings didn't like it and didn't want it. So the mother duck still loved him and said, oh, I love you, you're my child, I love you. But anyway, the ugly duckling didn't feel at home in that family. So, and most of the farmyard animals didn't really pay much attention to him. So he decided he'd go off and he would find someone or some people that would be like him. But he traveled a lot, and the water hens in the other part of the pond didn't really like him either. And then he found a group of hens. And hens were pecking and ignoring him. And if he got too close, they pecked him as well, because they weren't really looking at what they were pecking. And then he wandered into a house, and there was a lady in the house, and she had a cat. The cat really didn't like the duckling at all, but then cats are like that. And so eventually he came to a big, big open lake. And there he saw these beautiful birds. They were absolutely gorgeous. They were big, they were white, they were very elegant, and they had lovely long necks. And he thought, oh, they are just so beautiful. I wonder if they'd like me. So in his hurry to go near them, he slipped and he put out his wings to steady himself and discovered he could fly. And that was great. And then he came towards them, and they were delighted to see him, because they realized He was one of them. And when he looked in the water, he could see himself that he was one of them. He was a swan, a beautiful swan. So while everybody thought he was an ugly duckling, he had come this beautiful swan. But really, the swan was there all the time. It just needed to come out. And everybody then knew he was how beautiful he was. So, thank you. So I think it's, sorry, I have to keep my order here. It's hymn number 346. Come sing a song with me. My reading today is a poem. It's Pangor Bawn. It was written by a student in the monastery of Carinthia on a copy of St. Paul's epistle in the 8th century. Carinthia is in Austria. And it was translated by Robin Flower. I like it because it's a lovely, gentle kind of a poem. I and Pangor Bawn, my cat, 'tis a light task we are at. Hunting mice is his delight. Hunting words, I sit all night. Better far than praise of men, 'tis to sit with book and pen. Pangor bears me no ill will. He too plies his simple skill. 'Tis a merry thing to see at our tasks how glad are we. When at home we sit and find entertainment to our mind. Oft times a mouse will stray in the hero Pangor's way. Oft time my keen thought set takes meaning in its net. Against the wall he sets his eye, full and fierce and sharp and sly. Against the wall of knowledge I all my little wisdom try. When a mouse starts from its den, oh, how glad is Pangor then. Oh, what gladness do I prove when I solve the doubts I love. So in peace our tasks we ply, Pangor Bawn, my cat and I. In our arts we find our bliss, I have mine and he has his. Practice every day has made Pangor perfect in his trade. I get wisdom day and night, turning darkness into light. So if our meditation now, and the choir will sing, we'll bring it to an end. Everything has meaning and everyone has purpose. I cannot see the invisible threads of creation connecting all that I do. So I bless all that I do and dwell in the grace of wonder that I am connected to the whole fabric of life, and that this fabric is connected back to me. It's from Caroline Mace. The title of my talk today is Wandering, Wondering. In our church today, we are celebrating Thanksgiving Sunday. Today, we honour gratitude. In former times, we gave thanks for the bounty of the earth. Members of the congregation brought in produce from their gardens and dishes of food. On other occasions, homemade handcrafts were displayed, thereby giving thanks for the materials, the imagination for the designs, the tools with which the articles were made, and the hands that did the work. In their everyday lives, people are constantly giving thanks to another person, to a deity, to the universe for a diverse number of gifts. It can be anything such as thanking an angel for finding a parking space, one of my favourites, to keep family and friends safe, for finding lost things, a safe journey, and all the times we prayed as children that our mothers wouldn't kill us when we disobeyed her. Someone must have heard us, we are still here. We are constantly praying and lighting candles for a return to health of someone in need. Unfortunately, the outcome isn't always what we want. When it is, we are very happy to say thank you. So here we are gathered today, this lovely, friendly group of people in this beautiful church, to pray and give thanks for all the goodness and support we have received over time. Usually we come for spiritual nourishment, to meet friends and socialise. But what about our spiritual life and beliefs? I believe we are spiritual beings with a body. We come from God, we return to God. As such, we can give thanks for our spiritual gifts. We each have our own story. Not everyone believes in the continuation of the soul in another place when we die, nor do they believe in God or a higher being. As Catholics, we believed heaven was up in the sky, somewhere above the clouds. Hell was down below. Purgatory was somewhere in between and a step to heaven. At baptism, original sin was washed away and life started with a clean slate. It was easy to believe in God and follow the rules of the church. Most of the friends, relations and neighbours did too. God was in the church where we went to Mass on Sunday and holy days, and to say a prayer except when we were in dire need and looked towards heaven. Long after I left school and home, I began to question my religion. Then the wandering and wondering and searching began. It was a life-giving and challenging experience, meeting interesting and helpful people with different faiths and beliefs. The genie was let out of the bottle, and of course, once opened, the wonderful thing is, that genie can never be put back inside the bottle again. One day, some young women and I were discussing Jesus' visit to his friends, Mary and Martha. Mary was chatting with Jesus while Martha had to do the work and look after the food. She was complaining about Mary not helping as she chatted with Jesus. One woman said, "Of course Martha was not happy. She fancied Jesus herself." I was utterly taken aback. Such a disrespectful thing to say about Jesus, I thought. Of course she was right. Because he was the Son of God, I'd never seen him as the charismatic and human man he was. Looking around, it is easy to see God's hand in the beauty in the world. The variety of species of animals and birds, the vegetation in different areas, the vastness of the universe. No two persons are the same. Looking closer at the minutiae of a flower, there is shape, colour, texture, stamen, and it's alive, thriving in the right environment. One can only marvel at all this and believe in a higher power. Then there are times when it's hard to accept God exists, particularly when in pain and trauma. We pray to the divine and nothing improves. Where is the God we are told loves us? Or is he all a myth? And we are totally responsible for ourselves. We have a body wherein there's a mind, senses, limbs, instinct, and organs which function to keep the body in working order. What more could we need? Yet, there is the need to seek and search for something deeper. We move more towards spirituality. In his book, Finding God in All Things, Brian Grogan, SJ, says, spirituality is concerned with a person in relation to God. It concerns our experience of God, not our experience of ideas, rules, or regulations. What differentiates it from theology is its focus on the actual, living moment-by-moment relationship between the person and God in real-life situations. We look forward to friends and family for help and support. Often help arrives unexpectedly through what Brian Grogan says, calls escorts of grace. Some would call them angels. They are people who come and make a positive difference to a life. They could be a relative or a random person helping to fill in a difficult form. We tend to see God as male, depicted as an elderly bearded man in the heavens, and always referred to as he. In her book, She Who Is, Elizabeth Johnson says, Spirit Sophia, friend, sister, mother, and grandmother of the world, builds relationships of solidarity, not antithesis between God and human beings, and among human beings, which are each other and the earth. Held in her affection, human beings are called to be genuine companions of all creatures, advocating justice and parenting life while not being diminished or overpowered by a dominating will. She goes on to say, a Puerto Rican woman named Inez, when, after noting that God is to her above all a dark mystery, she observes, but if they would ask me to draw God, I would draw my grandmother smiling, because she is the only person that I believe has filled me, or filled me so much that I can compare her with God. I would draw a picture of my grandmother with her hands open smiling, as if to say, come with me, because I am waiting for you. God is strength for the struggle, strength to keep going, to encourage. Love and friendship are among the greatest gifts given and received. The word and hand given in comfort and celebration are highly valued and connect us to one another in a special way. Marion Williamson, in her book, The Mystic Jesus, says, God is an infinite ocean of love, not figuratively, but literally, of which we are part and from which we cannot be separated. So, in essence, God is love. Love is difficult to define, yet everyone has a sense of what it is and what it means to them. Even text messages can be used to send love in a variety of emojis. Love brings energy and joy, peace and creativity, compassion and healing, and an end to segregation. It must be meaningful when it is given. Love and respect are the basis of relationship, leading to ongoing harmony in the wider surroundings. In these terrible wars at the moment, where we see such destruction, death, poverty, and hate, the lack of love is very evident. It's only through love, respect, negotiation, and trust that all wars and divisions will cease. There has to be a willingness and desire for peace and to keep that peace. Similarly, there has to be a desire to restore our planet to a habitable and secure home for all beings. When we do the required work, nature will follow. We need to give thanks to a higher power, whether he or she, and ask for help in bringing peace and harmony to our home. I will finish with Patrick Kavanagh's words. Men build their heavens as they build their circle of friends. God is in the bits and pieces of the everyday. A kiss here, and a laugh again, and sometimes tears. Amen. Now we will have hymn number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table, and then we'll have the offertory. Thank you, Doreen. We have our notices now. Immediately after the service, we will have our harvest lunch celebration in the Damer Hall. There is no such thing as a free lunch, and we ask for donations in aid of Christian aid for the programme to support farmers in developing countries. So please give generously. Enjoy your lunch and enjoy the company. There are a few copies of Oscilt magazine for October on the table. Wednesday lunchtime service of reflection, 1 o'clock to 1:30, available in the church and online. Then the walking club, this is from Marcus. Hi, fellow Unitarian walkers. Our next walk is on Saturday the 26th of October, to Newbridge House and Farm and Park. Meet up at 10:30 at Coach House Cafe, Newbridge House, and start walking 11 o'clock. Walking for about 2.5 hours, not including picnic. Appropriate clothing and footwear depending on weather. Book club meetings take place on the last Wednesday of every month in the church vestry at 7:30 p.m. All are welcome. The book club list for the next 3 months is as follows. October, The House of Doors by Tan Twang Ing. November, Tom Lake by Anne Patchett. And December, Hotel du Lac by Anita Bruckner. Membership is around this time of the year. After attending for about a year, if anybody would like to become a member, you can talk to Bridget about it, and she will guide you and give you more information. So if anybody would like to, if anybody is here for about a year and would like to join, you're most welcome. So Madeline has noticed that she wants something she needs, wants to say.
This is me again on my roughly 6-monthly visit to the pulpit to tell you all about my drama group's play. This time it's The Plough and the Stars by Sean O'Casey, very famous, well-loved play, so it's booking up fast. It's on from the 5th to the 9th of November in the Mermaid Theatre in Bray. There's a little notice out on the board. It's a sad play, but I saw the auditions. There are some very funny moments, so maybe you'll enjoy it.
And we have our final hymn. It's number 32, Now Thank We All Our God. And before the blessing, can I say thanks to all who helped in the service this morning, for Carol, who did welcoming and flowers, for the slew of people who are downstairs looking after the tables and the food, and all who brought food, thank you very much. For those who helped me with the microphone, thank you. For Denise, for reading. For Josh, for music. And can I say a very special thank you to Dorian for her rendering of My Leg in Love. She rang and asked me if she would play it, and I was thrilled to bits because she plays it so beautifully. And it was my father's favourite song. So anytime I hear that, I always think of him. So thank you. So now we'll have our blessing. Let us treasure every moment, know the value of every good deed, and discover greatness in small things. May we see in the passing the eternal, in each sunbeam love, in each raindrop wonder, in each leaf beauty, and in every human soul God's living spirit. Amen.